Oh, no, no, God, no, not this. Macklin setting up to Moore. You absolute bastards. Never. I'm here forever. I'm taking you down. I'm taking this whole freaking company down.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the inaugural episode of Impactful here on the Sunday Night Main Event Radio Network. My name is Eric B. I am your host. So thank you so much for joining me. Today we'll be joined by Brian Myers, the Good Hands, and we're going to go over the results of the Under Siege pay-per-view that took place on Friday, May 26th at the Western Fairgrounds in London, Ontario. You can still catch the replay live on Fight TV and Impact Plus. This marks the official third time that the Impact brand has ran the Under Siege pay-per-view, and the first time in 4 years that they've returned to London, Ontario. I had the pleasure of attending in person, so let's dive right into the action. The first match of the night was a complete heater of a wrestling display between Nick Aldis and Kenny King, who had Sheldon Jean in his corner. Sheldon Jean is a newly signed talent here from Canada on Impact. Aldis was making his pay-per-view debut for Impact after surprising everybody in Toronto at Rebellion previously. And him and Kenny King have kind of been going back and forth in this feud. A good initial feud for Aldis to get his feet wet in Impact. And really, you could see this in the ring and outside of the ring, of course, too, because Kenny kept on powdering outside of the ring, using that ring escape and using Sheldon Jean to his advantage, which he was able to catch Aldis sleeping and send him directly into the ring steps head first. Now, that really helped change the momentum, but these guys kept on going back and forth. Really good wrestling display until Kenny King hits a twisting dive outside of the ring onto Aldis, which really set the crowd on fire. Eventually, Aldis hits a Falcon Arrow where the crowd is able to count at least to six, but Sheldon Jean has the referee distracted on the side of the ropes. Eventually, Kenny does go to finish the match with a really high-risk maneuver. He's caught by Aldis. Aldis puts him into the King's Lynn Cloverleaf. Kenny King has no choice other than the tap, and this is a really good debut match for Nick Aldis here in Impact. Like I said, really good wrestling display here between these two gentlemen. Nick Aldis just completely reeks of main event material. Honestly, it will probably be a little while before we see him into that collision, but eventually, whoever he gets, we're definitely going to see Nick Aldis there in a world title shot. It's an inevitability, folks. As Aldis is actually making his way out of the ring, I think that his music hasn't even stopped yet. I'm actually right in the stands, and I see this wild brawl breakout between these two women, and when the lights kind of pop up on it, we can see that it's Killer Kelly and it's Masha, and their feud has made it all the way to London, Ontario. They are just tearing each other apart, handfuls of hair, suplexes onto the concrete. Killer Kelly throws Masha out of the stands onto the ground. They eventually make it to the ring. Kelly is just a woman obsessed. She grabs a chain from underneath the ring. She chokes out Masha Slamovich, and the referees can't stop her. The security guards can't stop her. Everybody eventually runs away from Killer Kelly when they give up. Just give me more of this feud. I am so excited to see more of it, and I can't wait to see where these two ladies take it. In our second match of the evening, we had The Design against Sami Callihan, Rich Swann, and a mystery partner. And surprise, surprise, folks, it's Jake Crist. He's come back to help his OVE brother. Good to see Jake Crist back with the company after a little while of being away. The guy can definitely work. And the match quickly breaks out to the outside of the ring. Big Con just looks like a wrecking ball going through a brick wall in this match. There's very little that can stop this guy from, man, he is just Ooh, he's a big boy. But eventually, they do get advantage. They do take advantage of the numbers. Stereo super kicks to Conrad really put him down for a while. Sammy Callahan actually power bombs Angels onto the design outside onto the ring and prepares for the dive itself. We get a little cut off. The crowd's a little disappointed by that, but we see that the really interesting tag team work really can't stop Conrad still. He is just really, really taking advantage of that size, and he just slams Rich Swann right onto OVE. Eventually, Diener actually breaks out a burning hammer in this match. Believe it or not, Diener in London, Ontario, this is definitely bizarre world. Everybody is cheering for Diener, and I don't know if that's what he wanted, but he definitely was getting that result from the crown. With that being said, Rich Swann eventually reverses Allen Angels into a pin, and they sneak in the win. Good to see Callahan back in the ring with Jake Crist, and they definitely made the crowd happy with this one. It's now time for our second pay-per-view debut of the evening, and our first of two female matches on the card. And this would see Trinity making her pay-per-view debut against Giselle Shaw, accompanied to the ring by Jay Bedell and Savannah Evans. This was another fan favorite match, absolutely. The whole crowd was giving out glow sticks before the match started, which was a nice touch for sure. And Trinity really comes out on a really hot start, just, you know, for lack of a better word, looking like she's glowing there in the ring. She's hitting those massive split leg drops that she hits where, I don't know, it just seems like she gets more air than anybody. But Giselle really starts using her entourage for an unfair advantage over Trinity. You suck chance actually are breaking out in the crowds for Giselle Shaw. She's getting the Kurt Angle treatment. That was really fun to see. Giselle hits a really nasty Hangman's DDT and gets about a 2.99 second count on Trinity. She definitely looked like she was in trouble there, but Trinity definitely defies all the odds in this match, takes a W with the Starstruck submission, and she will not be denied in her pay-per-view debut. Looks really good in the ring, like looks really, really good. Definitely a superstar. She's another one that's probably on her way for a title shot. We'll just see how that breaks out. I think she's probably a couple of really high-quality feuds away from that title opportunity. In between matches, we had a great backstage promo being cut by Subculture, who were interrupted by Brian Myers and the Good Hands, who were wondering why Subculture is getting the opportunity and not them. So to build on that a little bit more, let's go ahead and let's play our interview with Brian Myers and the Good Hands from this week. I am sitting here with Mr. Brian Myers and the Good Hands. Brian, thank you so much for joining us. Jason and John, a huge surprise as well. I actually wasn't expecting you to join, but this is really cool that you guys are here because I wanted to talk a little bit of Good Hands today, especially with you mentoring them, taking them under your wing. Yep. And really what you were hoping to teach Jason and John about winning. And how quickly are we going to see Jason and John get in a tag team opportunity for a tag team championship?
Well, I think that's the immediate goal, right, boys?
Yeah, 100%. I think that that's been our goal since we started here as a team is, you know, we've got the gut check winner from last year, and I've been grinding for 15 years. We don't just be put together. We're not just put together. Like, we have bonded because we want to be tag team champions.
And I don't think winning is the focal point, really. I mean, at the end of the day, it is. But it's about being stars, being noticed, and getting what we deserve here at Impact Wrestling, right?
Exactly. So you mentioned, you know, in the press conference, the uncrowned champ of Impact Wrestling. Is that something that you're still hoping to search after? Are you still
every
have
day? And I truly believe that. I think I've been slighted here in Impact Wrestling. I've been the MVP for the 3 years that I've been here. No matter what I do, whether it's in the ring, on this goddamn microphone, outside of wrestling my business adventures, I'm the most successful. And I think it's about time.
Wow, that's definitely a good way to put it. Definitely about that time. You mentioned your business ventures outside of wrestling. Of course, you're very well known for the Major Wrestling Figure podcast. You do a lot of things on the side. That has grown a lot since 2018. Over 18 million views in total online. Merchandise-wise, you guys just keep on rolling them out. Are we going to see any Good Hands bendies coming out in the future?
Well, that's what I'm doing here. I'm making stars, and that merchandise comes along with that, right? By the way, the Brian Myers t-shirt will be available all weekend long here in London.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, that's great. That's the most professional wrestler, Brian Myers, here, always dropping the merch. Brian, I know like you've still got a lot left in the tank here. You've got a lot that you want to accomplish. Outside of professional wrestling, when you potentially do see outside of the ring, what do you think that is going to look like for you?
Do you mean like not being involved in wrestling?
I mean like potentially stepping.
Never going to happen.
Never.
When I'm dead, yeah, I'll not be involved in wrestling. Yeah.
Awesome.
That's it. End of story. Yeah.
That's great. So for Brian Myers fans, you're always going to have him here. He's always going to be around.
I've been obsessed with wrestling since I was 5 years old. I've been doing it as a living since I was 18. You know, I've never had a real job, and I won't ever, you know. And I'll be in the ring until Father Time gets me. I can guarantee you that. And that's just the way it goes. You know, when you love something and you're passionate and you're fortunate to get to do it like I do, I'm going to hold on to it as long as I can, and that's forever.
That's great. So one last quick question here. You're going to potentially be going up against Tyler Turva. That's if he can get by Hotch. Again, like I said, if.
He's got jokes. He's got jokes.
If. So what do you think of Tyler Turva? Have you seen anything about him before?
I thought Impact Wrestling was a professional wrestling company, not a charity. Is this a charity? They were like, hey, whoever in London can sell the most tickets can wrestle Brian Myers. I mean, this is ridiculous, right? I have to make a, you know, a fool of this guy, I will. I've been doing it my whole career. That's fine. Yeah. But he's not going to get past Hotch in the first place, okay? I'm the most professional wrestler. That's not a gimmick. That's not a catchphrase. That's who I am. I've been doing this for almost 20 years, okay? Tyler, ticket seller. I'm sure he's going to have a great night. His mom's going to kiss him on the forehead and say he did wonderful, but he's going to lose to Hotch, and he's never going to face me. And if he does, it'll be the biggest thing he ever did in his life.
Well, guys, you heard it here first from Brian Myers and Jason Hotch. So, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you check out Under Siege on Fight TV and Impact Plus, so download that. And like I said as well, you can catch Brian at the Awesome Toy Show coming up in Mississauga.
And buy the Brian Myers t-shirt on shopimpact.com.
Big things definitely on the horizon for the Good Hands, and I think with Brian Myers, they definitely have a mentor who is going to put them in the right direction. So that led us directly into the match between Subculture, who is debuting here for Impact, against the Austin Bay Club, the former Bullet Club. The two sweet birds are definitely chirping in London tonight. You can hear everybody doing the whoop whoop. Everybody just loves that. And Bay and Ace just really start off by controlling the ring, cutting everything off in the ring. But Subculture, who is a little bit lesser known to North American audiences, are definitely doing some extremely impressive displays of athleticism, some really incredible tag team moves, and a awesome high spot that included a flying swanton bomb off of the ring post to the outside of the ring. It was just a high-flying, high-energy matchup. In my opinion, probably the most exciting card on the night, especially when Chris Bay just set the card on fire with a double poison rana. Bay and Ace ended up retaining in a really glorious attempt by Subculture, and they hit that 1-2 sweet combination, retaining the championships and moving towards their next feud, which likely, you know, you would like to see Subculture come back in here, maybe for a rematch. These two teams just worked incredibly in the ring together, but chances are very high that we're going to see our friends at the Good Hands try to get their hands on these title belts very soon. The X Division title is on the line as Trey Miguel defends at Chris Sabin. And Chris Sabin, of course, an Impact legend, Impact original for sure. He is definitely fighting for the pride of this belt, who he thinks Trey has just gone ahead and completely disrespected it. Trey, honestly, is just excellent in the ring, such a great worker, incredible. One of, in my opinion, probably one of the MVPs of Impact. So he's definitely deserving of that title, but he might have been mistreating a little bit more than the legends of the past. Of course, Saban wants to take Trey to school for most of the fight. But Trey actually takes over at one point with just an array of these great stomps that he's throwing out. Saban makes the crowd really happy when he locks in a sharpshooter on Trey Miguel, but he just can't get the leverage. He has to drop down on one knee and can't stay up on the 2 feet, which is probably not giving him that leverage he needs to get that tap. Saban just hits an amazing reversal into a Canadian destroyer at one point, calls for the finish. Miguel hits an eye rake, which actually makes Saban blind. He almost hits his finisher on the ref, who safely actually determines that he's a referee before he gets hit. He eventually goes ahead and hits Miguel. The crowd counts to 8, but the ref is just completely out. Miguel eventually wins with a spray can blast to the face of Saban. Not like this is the way that they coined it on the Impact page. Unfortunately, this is the way it worked out. The champion retains, and Saban's just going to have to watch Trey Miguel continue to shine with that belt. Up next, everybody, we have just an absolute barn burner, a dust-up of a match here. The six-way match for the number one contendership for the Impact World Championship. And our competitors were Moose, Eddie Edwards, Yuya Yamura, Frankie Kazarian, Jonathan Gresham, and Alex Shelley. This match just started off wild. We saw them breaking off to pairs to really start it off, which is kind of something that you'll classically see in these six-way number one contender matches. Nobody could really separate themselves from the pack. There was a moment, though, when Moose was really starting to get some ahead of steam. And probably one of my favorite parts of the match for sure was Moose blew up the Tower of Doom spot, which was much to the sadness of many people in the crowd. However, as I said, I was sitting there in the audience, and before that Doom spot was happening, I think I heard 3 people in front of me say, "Why do they always got to do this in the match?" So credit to Moose for breaking that up. I thought that was very well done. Jonathan Gresham looks really good in this match as well. So does Kazarian. And Alex Shelley and Kazarian just do some amazing tag team maneuvers, really, to take Gresham entirely out of this match. When it's all said and done, you know, everybody's getting their stuff in. Yuya Yamura definitely looks great. He is getting just some incredible rub here in the company. Definitely great talent that they're bringing in from Japan, and it's really good to see that. Somebody that was there in the crowd as well mentioned that they remembered Okada coming over from New Japan, and just how amazing it is to see how well used Yuya is, and he looks really good, man. He breaks Moose down in the match, he just can't get the pin. Alex Shelley eventually hits the shell shock on Yuya Yamura. Shelley is now the number one contender for the Impact World title. People are happy. Impact Original definitely going up head-to-head against the winner of tonight's match in the main event. It's now time for our co-main event of the evening as Jordynne Grace takes on Deonna Purrazzo for the Knockouts World title. And the stipulation of this match is if Jordynne loses, she can never fight Deonna Purrazzo again for the championship. So there is a lot on the line here. You could even say that potentially the Impact career for Jordynne Grace is on the line, because before the match, in a promo early in the night that she cut, she even said if she's not a winner, she doesn't know who she is. So really, there's a lot of internal discussion happening here for Jordynne to see if she can get this done. Deonna calls Jordynne a friend, but for this fight, they're competitors. The crowd actually really start in the support for Jordynne Grace. Everybody was hot for Jordynne Grace. Deonna Purrazzo could barely get any support from the audience. But as the matches continue to progress, Deonna really showed why she's the virtuosa, why she gets all of the support. And the crowd just completely starts to split for virtuosa and Jordynne Grace. It was incredible to see. Deonna locks in an armbar attempt at one point, but it gets reversed into an unsuccessful pin attempt by Jordynne. I think a lot of people thought that she was going to get it there. There are some dirty pile drivers hit by Deonna. She hits a package pile driver. She hits a reverse on Grace. which is just gnarly. And somehow, I mentioned it before, but somehow, defying all odds, Jordan Grace continues to kick out of these. Now, we're coming to the point now where we see Jordan really looking to pull everything out of the tank to get this done, get this title off of Deonna. She hoists Deonna Purrazzo on her back and tries to nail her with a Grace driver from the top rope. This, unfortunately, is reversed by Purrazzo, and she puts Grace out entirely, finally, with a top rope Queen's Gambit. Wow, what a visual. There is just no way that Jordan Grace is getting up from that. There's no way that anybody's getting up from that. 1, 2, 3, Purrazzo retains the championship. Jordan Grace will not shake Deonna's hand afterwards. What does this mean next for both women? Now, Deonna, obviously, I think that she's going to be working towards some type of a title feud, potentially with Trinity, potentially with somebody else. We'll see who they can work into the mix. For Jordan Grace, there's a lot of information out there right now. Fightful Select is reporting that this might have been her last match with Impact. She might be taking some time off outside of wrestling, and there's a lot of outside companies that might be interested in her as well. Keep in mind, Jordan Grace is a professional bodybuilder, so she might be looking to do that also. Either way, we here at SNME hope the absolute best for her. Jordan is an amazing competitor. And yeah, these two women really gave us a great co-main event. It's time for the main event of the evening. PCO has taken over the Western Fairgrounds. Frankenstein's monster has been released onto the crowd. And there is just a feeling as he's coming to the ring in this one that you just know this is going to be just a nasty match between these two. Steve Macklin makes his entrance, has all the heat in the world, which just continues to show how much over he's getting as well, which we'll get into at the end of the match. But PCO really just starts the match off really nuts. This is just what you expect from PCO at this point, including a senton bomb to the outside of the ring, which is just gnarly. Macklin follows that up with a suplex onto the steps, the steel steps with PCO. And you think that that's getting crazy, but we're just at the start here, folks, because Macklin realizes he's in for the fight of his life when PCO just busts him open entirely with a cookie sheet to the head as Macklin was trying to hit a dive out to the outside of the ring. Macklin's wearing a crimson mask. Macklin looks incredible. That's all I can say. This visual with Steve Macklin with his face just covered in blood, spitting misty blood into the crowd, was just incredible. It's not something that I expected from this match at all. And it was really cool to see that. If you were in the front two rows, chances are you were in that splash zone. It's clearly identified that this is a street fight. There is no wrestling match. Tagged and bagged, PCO still cannot be stopped. Macklin starts doing the completely absurd to PCO when he's stapling his lips shut entirely. PCO is ripping them out by hand. Because like we said, PCO can't be stopped, man. He's not human. He repaid Macklin pretty fast by throwing that bloody head directly into the ring post. That bong just rang out in the arena. It was really, really great. That's just the best way that I can put it. Cement pads come out. A sledgehammer comes out. Macklin bashes through the two cement pads onto PCO. Everybody's like, come on, this guy is, that's it, right? No. But PCO comes back to life, hits a gnarly reverse DDT on Macklin. Macklin eventually starts bringing cinder blocks into the ring. People, cinder blocks are making their way into the impact zone. Got to get ready for this. The cinder blocks are being set up by Macklin, who's stopped by PCO. Macklin reverses the attempt. Body slams PCO onto the cinder blocks, lifts him back up, hits him with a KIA directly onto a block. Thankfully, One, two, three. This match is over. Guys, if you're a little queasy, this is definitely not the match for you. It was a tough one to stomach, but man, for somebody who really wanted the bang out of their buck tonight, you definitely got it if you were there at this event. It was wild. After the match is over, Macklin demands that Scott D'Amore is a man of his word and puts his belt around his waist. Scott D'Amore, being the friendly Canadian that he is, comes out and does so. While doing so, unfortunately, Bully Ray breaks into the ring and chokes him out. I mean, everybody tries to come to the ring to stop them. Everybody tries to help. Nobody can help. And I'm talking about Matthew Rayholt. I'm talking about Motor City Machine Guns, PCO. Nobody can help Scott D'Amore, who eventually goes through a flaming table by Bully Ray, the man who loves tables the most. Wow, what a visual. Bully Ray says that he'll do everything that he can do to take down the company, and that by being signed, a big mistake was made by Scott D'Amore. What a great way to close out the event. Macklin looks like $1 million, folks. He just continues to elevate his stock. He's somebody who I know a lot of people kind of look at as bland, but what he is doing in these matches, what he's doing with his career now, not only in Impact, but all over the board, his star power is undeniable. And with him being the champion, I think that Impact is some really good hands. So what's next for Impact? So like we had determined, we had the number one contender here for the championship, being Alex Shelley. And Against All Odds will be coming up next Friday, June 9th in Columbus, Ohio. Again, you can check that out on Impact Plus or Fight TV. So at this point, you guys might be sick and tired of my voice. So we're going to wrap up the first episode ever with a massive thank you for listening. Again, check out all of the episodes that we have on the Sunday Night Main Event Radio Network. We have some great shows out there for you guys to check out. Support us on Patreon for as low as $6 a month. And I'll see you next time. Until then, stay impactful, and you guys take care.